Yesterday we began a discussion about the Isser La'adam Lachvo Ba'atzmo, and that really stemmed from a Gemara in Maseches Baba Kama, where we are told that one is not allowed to harm or injure themselves. That's a machlokus in the Gemara, but Rov Harishonim come to the maskana, come to the conclusion that one is not allowed to injure themselves. And the way that the Radvaz and many others explain that halacha is that since the Pasuk says, Hanefashos Lihena, since we assume that our soul and our body, Ein nafsho shel adam kinyano, I don't have complete sovereignty over my own body, over my own life, therefore we assume that I don't have the ability to make a decision about my life, whether, number one, to take my life, that's what the Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, that shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam dam yishafech achas dimchem lenafsho sechem edrosh, that one is not allowed to commit suicide under any circumstances, it is absolutely forbidden. And the reason why I don't have the right to take that kind of decision in my own hands is because we assume ein nafsho shel adam kinyano. One's life is not really their own. It really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are not at liberty to use or abuse our bodies. Unfortunately, over the last number of years, I've discussed too many end-of-life shilas with both my father and Rav Asher Weiss that have come up in this neighborhood, and just over the course of time, it comes up. And this very much touches on what we spoke about yesterday. Many people had a question at the end of our shiur. We mentioned that the Achronim say, if you have a fairly regular medical treatment that most people would opt to take without being afraid, and a patient comes and he says, I don't want to do it even though it means I'm going to die if I do not take this treatment. So we gave a very simple example yesterday. Again, I am not a medical professional at all, so I don't know what a perfect example would be. But let's say somebody has an infection in his foot, an ingrown toenail, and it's really infected. So you can let that infection grow and continue to grow and potentially really be dangerous. Or you can just go have a very standard, very simple procedure, outpatient, no problem at all. And we would assume that they would take care of the issue and life would move on a day or two later. And the patient refuses and says, you know what, I'd rather live with the infection, I'm queasy from the doctor touching my feet and doing whatever he needs to do, and therefore I would rather just have the infection take its course, even if it means I'm going to die. So the Magen Avraham says, you don't have a right to say such a thing, because, ein nafsho shel adam kinyano, my body does not belong to me to make such a poor decision, and therefore we would assume that I have to make the proper decision in place of that. And what is the proper decision? What most regular people would have said under this kind of very simple circumstance. So one place where it gets very complicated is when we're dealing with end-of-life issues. Does a patient at the end of life, a terminally ill patient, do they have a right to say that I refuse any invasive treatments, any painful treatments, and I would rather not be treated at all? And even if it means that I may lose my life as a result of refusing to take that treatment, maybe this is a decision that I have the right to make, or perhaps he doesn't have a right to say that. So this is an extremely sensitive and complicated question that unfortunately comes up very, very often. So the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Shin Chav Ches. Let's say I have a patient who says, I know it's Shabbos, and I know that I have some kind of problem, and I must go to the hospital, but I would rather die than be Mechal Shabbos. I don't feel comfortable being Mechal Shabbos, writes the Magen Avraham. You don't have a right to make that decision. The Torah itself says, V'chai Bohem. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Peches says that you're supposed to do whatever it is, even if it means violating the laws of Shabbos. That is what you are expected to do. That is what you are obligated to do. And the Magen Avraham says you have no right to say, I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos, and I'd rather die instead of the Chilo Shabbos that it would entail. Number two, the Magen Avraham says, what if a person on Yom Kippur realizes he's passing out? Passing out is not a Chola Sheyesh Basakana. You can stick an IV in. But let's say you have some kind of condition where we know, or you can never know with certainty, but it seems very clear that if this person is not going to violate the laws of Yom Kippur, they're going to lose their life. Says the Magen Avraham, you don't have a right to say, well, it's Yom Kippur, I can't eat, I can't drink. If the doctors say this is what you need to do to save your life, that is absolutely what you need to do. And the Magen Avraham says there should be no discussion about that. That is clear. Now, what about our case? It's not exactly the same. Our case is not that what's holding me back is the Torah. It's not that I'm afraid that I'm not going to violate Shabbos, I'm afraid of violating Yom Kippur. That's not the circumstance. Over here, we're talking about a situation where either somebody doesn't believe in medicine, and Rav Moshe says that's ridiculous. You have somebody in the days of Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the 1800s, 1700s. Medicine was not clearly as well documented and researched as it is today. Today as well, we don't know all the details of every medical condition and all the side effects of every medication and every surgery. You can never know with certainty, but Rav Moshe says, for a person to say, I refuse treatment because I don't believe the doctors and I don't believe in the science, that is also something that is unreasonable, and that is something that should not be accepted at all. Now, we have legal issues. We can't force treatment on a patient, but Rav Moshe writes, in a case like that, we definitely need to try our best to talk to the patient and explain to them in very clear terms why it is that they should not be nervous about whatever medical procedure is being suggested. But what about in a case where the person believes in the doctors and he understands exactly what's going on, but the patient is a terminally ill patient, and he says, I don't want to deal with the tremendous discomfort or with the pain of whatever intervention you're about to do. And I'm not interested in having any more pain. Let me just go in peace. And I don't want that my life should be extended. What's very surprising here is that Rav Moshe has three different shuvas where he discusses this issue. And Rav Moshe there writes that if you have a patient who feels that they would rather die than go through the suffering, obviously you have to take every case with a very sensitive eye and really look at it very carefully. But Rav Moshe says in general, the general psak that he gives is, if you have a patient who's a terminally ill patient, and he doesn't define exactly how long that period of time is, but if he's gotten some kind of diagnosis like that, and the patient says, I would rather not have any invasive treatment, I don't want to continue on like this, it's going to be too uncomfortable, too painful, Rav Moshe says in three different places that we have a right to listen to the patient, and we should just sheva al tasa. You can never, chalila, kumva ase, you can never kill a patient, and you can never disconnect them from the machines that they might already be on. However, Rav Moshe says, to withhold treatment and not offer the next stage that any other patient would be offered is something that would be completely appropriate. And this is not only Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Shlomo Zalman has the very same psak, very surprisingly. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach describes a case where there was somebody who had a terrible infection in a part of his body, and as a result of whatever it was that happened, they said that they were going to have to amputate his leg. And this person said, I would rather die than to live life being a burden on other people. I'm going to have to live with an amputated leg, which means I'm not going to be able to take care of myself. I'm going to be wheelchair bound. I'm going to be prone to infection. I'm going to be running back and forth to the hospital all the time. And he said, I would rather just let it go. I don't want to have this procedure, and I don't want to have the surgery, and I'd rather the infection take its course. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says in a case like that, he has every right to make that decision and say, I do not want the treatment, and I would rather just let things be and take their natural course. The Stipler writes the same thing, and the Stipler goes even further. A very famous letter that the Stipler has in a collection of letters that has been printed, he says, Be'ikir ha'yisod, de'kol ma'sha efshar lahare chaye ha'chole. He says, we have this notion, Jews have a notion that they believe that we don't have an obligation to continue to that we always have an obligation to continue and extend life as much as possible. Says the Stipler, lived in Bnei Brak, a great Talmud Chacham, a great Tzaddik on his own, and he says, Emes, shegam ani shamati bialdusi memer kazu. I was also raised with that understanding that we extend life at all costs. However, he says, velo yadati imzeh mibar samchu. I don't know where this came from. And the Stipler goes on to prove from a Gemara that he doesn't believe that it's true. He doesn't think that it's the case that you always have to extend life at all costs. That is not the bottom line. We don't always assume that that is the answer. And therefore, the Stipler, based on the psak that he gives there, he says, V'lachein, Sheva Altase, Lo Matzasi Yisr. I never found that there's anything wrong with a person just being passive and not offering treatment and not taking another step to do an invasive kind of procedure. Writes the Stipler that he doesn't think there would be anything problematic about that. What you find here is three great gedolim of the last generation, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the Stipler, who all believed what we would have said is contrary to everything we said yesterday. What we mentioned yesterday was, Hanefashos Lihena, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who owns our bodies. We are almost on loan from the Ribono Shel Olam himself. And therefore, the Rambam writes, Aser LaAdam Lachavo Ba'atzmo, based on the Gemara Baba Kama. And yet, although I don't own my own life, and although I'm not a balabas on my own body, we do have the right to assume that somebody can make a decision like this when they know that making such a decision will take away their opportunity to extend life longer than it otherwise would have been able to be extended. And more often than you think, what is very problematic is that a shaila will come up, and the family calls, this is the circumstance, this is what happened, some kind of emergency situation came up in the hospital, and you ask them, so what were the patient's wishes? And they say, well, we never discussed it. Either because the person was a younger person who never really bothered to have these kinds of conversations, which young person thinks that something like that is going to happen to them, or because even if they're an older person who sees this coming, It's an uncomfortable conversation for anybody to have, and they've never sat down with the family and had this discussion. So you ask the family, what were the patient's wishes? And they say, we don't really know. So what do you do then? That is always a very uncomfortable situation, and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman discussed that as well. And they say, it's very strange because in halacha you don't find that a close family member, closest of kin, has a right to make a decision for my life. Why should they? It's a chiddush in the first place that a patient has a right to make a decision for his own life. It should be, the bottom line is, my life is not my own life, it belongs to God. It's His jurisdiction, it's His domain. He should be the one to make the decisions, and I should have no right at all. And that's the tremendous chiddush of all the gedolim of the last generation, that they do have the right to make a decision. Now, they say, what about when you don't know exactly what the patient wanted? Does the family then take over and have a right? So Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Moshe Feinstein both say, yes, he has a right to take over as a family member, to be in the place of the patient, him or herself. Why? Says Reb Moshe Feinstein very simply. Because what we always want to know is, what were the wishes of this patient? That's the bottom line that we mentioned before. What are the wishes of the patient? That is what we're going to do. And therefore, Reb Moshe writes, the wishes of the patient are that if I am unable to make a decision on my own, the closest family member who's going to have to deal with my medical condition should make the decision in my place. Therefore, says Reb Moshe, in essence, you are honoring the decision of the patient, him or herself. What they would have wanted is that if I'm in a position where I'm unable to make a decision, I would want somebody who's closest to me to make the decision. And therefore, Reb Moshe says, that's why we have a right to listen to the patient. Shlomo Zalman changes it a little bit, and he says he doesn't think that's the reason. The family member. Oh, thank you. Reb Shlomo Zalman says, same conclusion, a closest family member does have a right to make a decision when the patient is unable to make it on their own. But Reb Shlomo Zalman says no. The reason why is because the family members know this person so well, they probably would be able to conjure up in their minds, if we would have had a conversation with this patient, from knowing him for the last 40, 50, 60 years, this is what he would have wanted. And therefore, we trust them because they are probably presenting what their parent or what their close relative would have wanted. Something you need to be very careful about that my father always points out is, you have to make sure that the family member who's making the decision is not making a decision that is based on their own comfort. Sometimes a child makes a decision, it's embarrassing to say such a thing, but a child makes a decision that's not completely objective. A child will say, well, I don't want to have to pay all the medical bills, and I don't want to have to take care of this patient for all the X amount of years that they're going to be sick, and if they're going to be debilitated, it's going to be a problem for me. That's a very unfair way to make a decision. That is not an objective decision. You have to make an objective decision based on what it is that the patient, him or herself, would have wanted, but that is something that Reb Moshe and Reb Shlomo Zalman both say would be an appropriate decision to be made by the closest family members. Once again, whenever these kinds of questions come up, they have to be dealt with very careful consideration, because these shailas are really very specific, very delicate, and you have to be very careful. These are dvarim ha'omdim b'ruma shel olam. You make the wrong psak, the wrong decision, you can wind up with rachmana litzlan ritzicha on your hands. So therefore, you need to consult with an extremely competent halachic advisor before making any of these decisions. Around 3 years ago, I called Rav Asher Weiss because we had a very painful situation here in the neighborhood, and that was, there was a terminally ill patient, and the doctor said, based on the prognosis that he had a very severely negative diagnosis, and it was declining very, very quickly, and it was clear where things were headed, and the doctor said, al pi derech hateva, barring a miracle, he only had a very short few months to live. And the question that this patient himself asked, which is amazing, the patient asked the question. He was of right mind, he was not old. He was in his 20s. And the patient wanted to know that he heard that there was an experimental therapy that was just put out. It was not proven yet. And he wanted to know, does he have a right to take this experimental therapy as a choice for his health care? Why? Because the doctors were very clear with him that if he takes the experimental therapy and it works, it will extend his life maybe by a few months longer than they had expected. If it doesn't work, it can very easily hasten his death. He can die because of the treatment itself. And the question that he had was, am I allowed to make such a decision? Am I allowed to make such a choice? Al pi derech hateva, if I take no more medication, if I get no intervention, I will just let the illness play itself out naturally, and whatever will happen whenever the Ribono Shel Olam decides, let's say 6 or 7 months down the line. If I take this treatment and ultimately it will allow me to live for an extra 4 or 5 months that I didn't expect to have, That's one possibility, but the very likely possibility could also be that it will go in the other direction and unfortunately take the patient's life earlier than it had to be taken. And Rav Asher Weiss, when I called him about this, really vacillated. He was struggling tremendously with how to answer this question because it's a very painful and difficult question to think about. In the end, he wrote a tshuva, and he responded. It wasn't printed yet, but he wrote that after a long discussion, he said, if the reason why the doctor gives this is because he believes maybe there's a chance that it will help. So he says, you can't say that he violated Lo Sirtzach. The doctor was doing something because he was trying to heal the patient. If it turns out that it has the adverse effect, you can't turn around and say to the doctor, oh, you violated Lo Sirtzach. And that's obviously not the case. However, he says, if that's the case, then everything should be allowed. So he writes, at the same time, the Torah says, Asur la'adam lahachnis atzma l'makam sakana. I'm not allowed to go into a dangerous situation where I know that I'm going to have possibly a very devastating consequence. And he said the only time that somebody's allowed to get involved in a medical intervention where there is a tremendous amount of risk is when the gain from that risk is that maybe I will have chaye olam, maybe I'm going to have a long, happy life afterward. But if I'm going to take a tremendous risk now, and what's going to be gained potentially out of it is only a very short-term gain, chaye shah, as we refer to it, then who said I have a right to make that decision when, on the other side, I might actually be losing a tremendous amount of valuable life? And therefore, he said, this is a very, very painful discussion to have. And he wrote that maybe there's another aspect, maybe there's another element to this question, and that is, he said, Amnam nalias daiti efshar shebizmanenu shoneh hadavar. Maybe he said, even though you have all these calculations, maybe there's another one to throw into the mix, and that is, dechadashim lebekarim yesh tagliot chadashot utrufot chadashot. He said, there's so much medical research that comes out, and there are so many experimental treatments that keep coming one after the other. He said, who knows? Maybe if you will have the opportunity to extend the patient's life potentially by another 5 months, who knows what kind of experimental treatment could be found in those 5 months that he might live? Maybe that will be the cure. So maybe that's another reason to say you have more of a right to take such a risk, even though you know it's a tremendous risk and it might actually have a devastating consequence. Maybe you have a right to do it because I'm doing it for the sole purpose of trying to extend life. And therefore, he says, this is a very unclear question. And he says in the end, Natiyas Alev Dechol Ki Agavna Sheva Al Tasa Adiv. What he said was at the time that in such a situation, Sheva Al Tasa is probably better, although it's a very painful thing to tell somebody who's a fighter and really wants to take whatever it is that they can get. This is a very, very complicated discussion, but sometimes it happens. And the crux of all of these issues is, when we assume hanafashos lihena, when we assume yesterday, asur la'adam lachvo ba'atzmo, that I don't have a right to make decisions for my own life, whether when they're going to be damaging, how far do we take that? Does that mean a person really never has a right to do anything that's potentially dangerous, to do anything that might risk some kind of chavala on their own body, or do we say perhaps there are limitations to that halacha as well?